Ihr seid unsere Merci-Jury.
Ganz genau, wir wollen eure Top 10 wissen. Also wem gebt ihr 12 Punkte, wen gebt ihr 10 Punkte, wen gebt ihr 8 bis 1 Punkt?
Und ihr schickt uns das bitte auf unseren Social-Media-Kanälen.
Ihr könnt kommentieren, einfach die Sendung und es öffentlich machen. Oder ihr schickt uns private Nachrichten über Messenger, Facebook, über Messenger, Instagram oder über eine Direktnachricht auf Twitter. Oder ihr mentiont uns auf Twitter oder ihr mentiont uns auf, Instagram?
Instagram oder ganz einfach, ihr schickt uns eine E-Mail an marco@mercicherie, also nicht Merci Jury, mercicherie.at.
Wir verlinken es auch in den Shownotes. Wir schreiben die E-Mail-Adresse nochmal hinein. Wer allerdings dann auch hörbar sein möchte in der Episode am 5. Mai, da erscheint die dann nämlich, der oder die soll einfach eine MP3-File schicken oder schickt uns eine E-Mail und wir geben euch eine Telefonnummer bekannt, wo ihr eine WhatsApp-Nachricht hinterlassen könnt, nämlich eine Sprachnachricht. Und so kommt ihr eventuell auch in die Sendung.
Wir würden uns nämlich ziemlich freuen über eure Beiträge und ich glaube, wir werden die eine oder andere Überraschung erleben.
Wir präsentieren auf jeden Fall am 5. Mai die Merci Jury Top 10 2020.
Merci, Cherie, der Eurovision Song Contest Podcast aus München.
Mir gegenüber sitzt Alkis Vlasakakis.
Und mein Vis-à-vis ist Marco Schreuder.
Und das Thema heute ist Don't Cry, Honey, Don't Cry. Wer ist zu Gast? Schwer zu erraten, oder?
Steht doch eh im Titel.
Ja, steht eh dort. Ja, 2020, das Jahr ohne Eurovision sozusagen und es tut sich so viel und gerade zerfleddert sich's ganz schön, oder?
Also ich bin ein bisschen überfordert, also jeden Samstag macht Eurovision TV eine Watchparty, wo sie sich jeden Samstag quasi jede Woche ein neues Jahr vornehmen, was dann zusammen mit den Fans geschaut und kommentiert wird. Das haben wir früher so auch gemacht, per SMS noch, bevor wir hingefahren sind, du weißt, die 2000er. Meine SMS-Rechnung von damals möchte ich nicht wieder haben. Aber ja.
Ja, es zerfleddert sich einfach insofern. Ich meine, wir haben tolle Sachen, wie diese Home Concerts, also Eurovision Home Concerts, finde ich ja großartig. Wunderbar. Mit Rasmussen unter anderem am Wochenende. Und Rasmussen, tja, der könnte demnächst auch woanders auftauchen.
Ja.
Dann, aber was mich jetzt am meisten irritiert, ist, es gibt lauter Alternativshows und die konkurrieren jetzt schon miteinander und ich glaube, die EBU hätte doch, das ist jetzt, im Nachhinein ist man nie mehr klüger, logischerweise, aber die EBU hätte mit der Absage des Eurovision Song Contest 2020 auch das Alternativprogramm, glaube ich, gleich präsentieren sollen, weil jetzt haben wir
am 16. Mai viel zu tun.
Ich meine, der Stefan Raab macht irgendwas.
Genau, Eurovision, also die EBU selbst macht was.
Die EBU macht diese Shine a Light, das ist sozusagen die offizielle Show, die als Ersatz präsentiert wird. Österreich macht eine nationale Video-virtuellen Song Contest.
Aber im April bereits, also das ist das Schöne daran.
Und es ist keine Konkurrenzveranstaltung.
Richtig.
Sozusagen. Ja. Und Schweden will eine eigene Eurovision Song Contest-Ausscheidung oder irgendwas machen, irgendeine eigene Sendung halt, so national die Songs bewerten lassen.
Naja, ja.
Und San Marino dürfte sauer sein, zumindest Dr. Eurovision hat irgendwie ein Interview übersetzt und hat gemeint, San Marino möchte jetzt mit anderen Fernsehanstalten doch einen Wettbewerb veranstalten.
Das stelle ich mir spannend vor, in der großen Stadthalle von San Marino, mit den finanziellen Möglichkeiten, die San Marino so zur Verfügung hat.
Mitten in Italien, wo es die meisten Opfer gibt?
Richtig, Norditalien, muss man dazu sagen.
Ja, irgendwie alles ein bisschen absurd, oder?
Ja.
Ich glaube, ich werde mich an die EBU halten. Die sind ja eigentlich die Offiziellen, so sehe ich das einfach mal. So virtuelle Song Contest beim ORF finde ich eine super Idee, weil im April. Und Merci Jury finde ich auch super, dann am 5. Mai.
Genau.
Ja, das kann man sich dann sogar anhören, wann man will. Ja.
Schlussendlich kannst du dir die ganzen Sachen ja dann auch im Nachhinein auf den ganzen nationalen Streamingdienst noch geben. So ist es ja nicht. Das ist ja nicht. Aber natürlich sind solche Sachen schöner als Live-Event.
Stimmt. Aber lieber Alkis, erzähl mal, wie geht es dir in der Isolation?
Ach, ich höre ganz viel Musik derzeit. Wir sind gerade wieder mal in Nesterwald-Stress. Wir machen das erste Theaterstück über Zoom für uns, ein virtuelles Abenteuer. Und das ist sehr, sehr spannend. Es hat jetzt nächste Woche Premiere, ist eh schon ausverkauft.
Ich wollte eigentlich, dass du jetzt Werbung machen kannst und das ist völlig umsonst sozusagen.
Ja, Nesterwald ist immer gleich ausverkauft, sorry. Die sind immer... Ja, also, ja.
Bei mir ist auch genug zu tun.
Naja, du warst
jetzt. Ich kann mich nicht beklagen über zu wenig Arbeit. Es ist halt viermal Home und viel weniger Konferenz und die Konferenzen sind jetzt im Netz. Mhm. Und eigentlich, ich komme viel dazu, habe mir einige Serien, die ich schon lange mal schauen wollte, jetzt endlich zu Ende geschaut. Und ich schaue tatsächlich auch viel Kultur. Mhm. Es gibt ein ganz tolles Museums, so ein virtuelle Museumsshow auf Arte zum Beispiel. Da besuche ich die Museen einfach in meinem Wohnzimmer. Ich mache diese Google Arts and Culture App jetzt auch sehr oft auf und besuche Ausstellungen virtuell. Also eigentlich finde ich, tut sich viel Interessantes und irgendwie keine Flugzeuge über Wien. Es ist so schön ruhig.
Es ist wirklich wahnsinnig ruhig. Also auch wenn du auf die Straße gehst und wir müssen ja alle mal raus, irgendwann einmal zum Einkaufen. Ja, ich finde es angenehm gerade. Also wenn es dann wieder voll wird, wird es, glaube ich, eher nicht so schön.
Ja, aber angenehm ist natürlich relativ, weil es gibt natürlich, also ich habe auch in meinem erweiterten Bekanntenkreis schon den ersten Toten aus Belgien. Mhm. Es gibt Menschen, die sterben und sind krank. Also wir sind in einer ernsten Zeit. Ich glaube, Österreich hat das sehr gut gemacht mit den Maßnahmen. Unsere Kurve ist tatsächlich sehr flach geworden. Mhm. Und im Gegensatz zum Beispiel zu Niederlande oder Großbritannien, dort schaut es nicht so gut aus. Und ja, es bleibt uns nichts anderes übrig, als Hoffnung zu liefern und euch Unterhaltung zu bringen. Und ich würde vorschlagen, wir machen einfach weiter in unserer Sendung und hoffen, ein bisschen weiterhin Trost und Liebe in eure Kopfhörer sozusagen zu verbreiten.
Können wir nicht eine neue Rubrik machen?
Ja, das haben wir noch ausgemacht, gell? Dann fangen wir mal an, oder?
Bitte.
If I were sorry, das Merci Chérie Erratum. Entschuldigung, Alkis, ich habe jetzt gerade einen Lachanfall. Also zum einen, wir haben schon seit Beginn unseres Podcasts dieses Intro, das wir nie verwendet haben.
Und warum
haben
eigentlich nicht?
Keine Ahnung, wir haben damals drei Intros bekommen aus Rumänien und ich habe mir immer überlegt, wofür könnte man das verwenden. Aber jedenfalls, wir haben uns jetzt gedacht, wir machen eine neue Rubrik, weil wir irren uns so oft, oder? Ich meine, Alkis.
Ja, bitte, also... Brighton, Dublin, mein Gott, kann man doch mal verwechseln.
Oder Riverdance, da haben wir uns auch geirrt.
Da haben wir uns reingeritten, ja.
Das heißt, wir entschuldigen uns immer mit If I Were Sorry, das Merci Chérie Erratum. Und Alkis, du musst Asche über dein Haupt schütten, sagt man, schütten?
Gießen?
Was macht man mit Asche?
Tröpfeln? Na, keine Ahnung.
Riesel. Ja, also jetzt Asche auf dein Haupt, du hast einen Fehler gemacht.
Ich habe letztes Mal einen Fehler gemacht. Ich habe Alf Beuer ins Jahr 2001 gesteckt und nicht ins Jahr 2003, wo er eigentlich hingehört. Sorry, Alf. Damals, als wir noch kuscheln durften, du erinnerst dich, Ende Jänner?
Ja,
da waren wir in München, genau. Deswegen haben wir ja gesagt, es kommt aus München, wir sitzen aber in Wien, sorry.
Ja.
Und da haben wir beim OGRA Germany Fantreffen viele Leute interviewt, unter anderem eben auch unsere heutigen Gäste, echte Siegerinnen.
Und wir hören uns jetzt einmal ihren Song an, Brotherhood of Man mit Save Your Kisses for Me.
Though it hurts to go away, it's impossible to stay. But there's one thing I must say before I go. I love you.
I love you.
You know, I'll be thinking of you in most everything I do. Now the time is moving on, and I really should be gone. But you keep me hanging.
Marco, wir haben Gäste.
I'm very, very, very proud to have you in our podcast, Brotherhood of Man, the winners from 1976, and record holder in so many ways. But if you allow me, I will start with a personal story.
Yes, please do.
Your song made me Eurovision fan, and your song is so important for my life. Because my parents moved to Austria when I was 6 years old, 1975. In 1976, I was watching Eurovision, and it took place in the Netherlands, where I came from and where my grandparents lived. And then I suddenly understood they are watching the same thing. And in Spain and in Italy and all over Europe, and they're all watching the same event. And I was so stunned by this. And then your song won. It was actually also the first song in the show. I think you had star
Correct.
Position one. Mm. And I love that song so much, and I never stopped listening to it. So I'm really, really personally very happy that you are now in my podcast here.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's a lovely thank story. That's a lovely story to hear.
Yeah. So Save Your Kisses for Me. Let's start about the song, because it's such an important song for Eurovision. It was the biggest hit of Eurovision ever, actually, and the most sold song from a Eurovision winner ever. So
that's correct.
Are you still proud of
Oh, yes, who couldn't be proud of that? It's a dream come true. I mean, as you say, when you're younger, and we, before the Eurovision, we always used to watch it every year, and we thought, well, Lee and I, could we write a song for the Eurovision? So you write a song, and you know it's got to be happy, you know it's got to be a one-listen song that everybody likes pretty much instantly. And it's got to be about something that everybody's familiar with. And we sort of sat down, and Lee came up with this tune, and we sort of started singing and all this kind of stuff. And in the end, we got the song pretty much done. And we said, but what's it going to be about? What's going to attract people around the world? We thought, everybody loves animals. Yes, we could have it about an animal. And then we thought, I don't know. Anyway, ended up about a child. So even though you're only three, which is the end line. And obviously we chose the right thing, because that's what made it the winner.
Maybe you have to introduce yourself suddenly, because we hear voices, but the people do not know. So who are you?
Sorry. I'm Martin Lee.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm Nikki Stevens.
And I'm Sandra Stevens.
I was going to interrupt and say he's Sandra.
Sandra's not here today.
No, she's resting.
Only resting her voice.
Okay. Yeah, because we've all been on holiday and from
jet lag.
The Maldives and America and Barbados, and we're only came back about Monday, Tuesday, and we're a little bit jet lagged still. So she's gone to have a bit of a sleep. Get the voice back together.
Well, we got Lee Sheridan here
so
as well.
I'm Lee Sheridan.
While Lee is talking, can I just tell you something here, that Lee is our musical arranger. And it's thanks to Lee that we have all the wonderful arrangements of all our hits. And the thing is with Save Your Kisses for Me, how it's become so famous as well, is that people sing a tune that goes with the actual melody of the song, which is the tune of the orchestra. So you've got da 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 da. And we hear people sing this sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, which is amazing. So I always do like to give him credit, as well as being the songwriters with Martin as well.
I pay her to say this.
Yeah. Which reminds
me,
the last instalment has not arrived in my account.
How much is there? Maybe she can always say, there is a podcast in Austria called Merci Chérie, and you all have to listen to it.
Brotherhood of Man was founded in 1969.
My birth year.
Well, yes. And but the actual how do you say it in English?
What we are today.
Yes. That came when?
Again, that sort of started where it, like, back in the late 60s, 69, there were a lot of session singers. We were all session singers, singing on different records, singing on different programs, singing, you know, all individually. And what happened was the unions weren't happy with everybody. I'm singing on your record, you're doing so on my record, and we're all singing on his record. And they said, well, we never know who's who. So apart from unless you're like the Rolling Stones or the Beatles, everybody's on everybody's records. So they narrowed it down and said, if you want to be the front man and the star of that particular band, you have to be in that band. You can't be in another band. Or up front in another band. If you want to be in the background, that's up to you, but you can't be up front. So they limited it right down, and our manager then said, oh, does anybody want to be Brotherhood of Man? And I said, yeah, okay, I'll go with it. And Lee and I were writing, so that was a natural. And then Nicky came in, as he's a friend of our manager, knew Nicky. I knew Sandra. We all got on well together, and we said, okay, let's go for it. And here we are, 48 years later.
So that was
51 years now?
No.
Since we started, 48 odd years.
Yeah. So 72.
72. 72
ish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
And how did you manage to stay together that long?
Well, we all like each other's company when we're about. Mm-hmm. We always have a laugh, we always have fun. We don't live in each other's pockets, so when we're not working, it's not like, I'm in at Nicky's house, Nicky's at my house, or whatever. We just meet when we work. Or, okay, the girls sometimes phone each other and talk about something new for stage or whatever. But we live separate lives when we're not working, which makes it work perfectly. So that when we come together, we've got something to talk about. We always have a laugh. Like today, we're having lots of laughs, and we enjoy it. And that's what it's about.
I mean, you had already quite many hits before you went to Eurovision.
Mm.
Eurovision was not the first step you did in your career. Mm. I mean, like United We Stand, for example, was a huge hit.
There was
hit.
United, yeah. There was Lady, there was Kiss Me, Kiss Your Baby. Yeah, a few before that.
Kiss Me, Kiss Your Baby, I already mentioned, because that was funny, because it was a big hit in Austria.
Mm.
I just saw that it was in the top 10 in Austria already.
Yes, so we need to come out and perform it there. Let's refresh everyone's memories.
Dear Austrians listening to you, to this now, you're doing Eurovision parties, or you do other performances or festivals, please invite the Brotherhood of Man.
Yes.
We will connect
yes.
you.
Yes, yes. So, but we're very, very lucky, because when we had a hit with Kiss Me, Kiss Your Baby, it already made us very well known to a lot of countries. And of course, Lady before had been a hit as well. And when we went to The Hague in Holland, we felt very confident, because we thought other countries do know us already. Not like, who is this group and whatever, never heard of them. Or not that you have to be heard of course. But it gave us a little bit of good feeling, you know. Oh, they already know us. We've had a number one with Kiss Me, Kiss Your Baby. And we'd been number one in Holland. And we felt, oh, this is good luck. It must be. It's a good omen. It's in Holland. And, you know, and of course, it went on to be number one in 33 different countries.
Wow.
Well, you can imagine, we've been to a lot of those countries to perform television and concerts. So really a good time with it.
In 76, there was a pre-selection in the UK, and you won that, of course. So you got sent to
The Hague.
Den Haag. I just read that Tony Christie only made the third place. He was probably biggest star then.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
But it was done just like the Eurovision with individual juries, but coming from various cities all over the UK. But there was all the acts that were on were very, very well known, and we were very, very lucky. I think we won by
2 points.
Two points. And
the UK took it more serious that day than nowadays, isn't it?
And of course, that year that we won it, they had changed the format of how they chose the songs. Mm-hmm. Whereas you used to have one artist would sing a certain amount of songs, and then people would vote on which song they preferred, and that would be the song that would go through to represent the UK. Whereas the year that we did it, they changed it so that the songwriters could choose the artist. Mm. So, of course, our song got through to the final 12, and they're not going to ask anybody else to sing it, are they?
So, and then it went to the Netherlands to Eurovision stage. Mm. So what are your remembrances on Eurovision?
It was fantastic, of course it was. And the Netherlands is a great place to go to. They've always been good to us. And we'd had success the year before with Save Your Kisses for Me. We had a gold record in the Netherlands and in Belgium. The number one there is number three in France. It was number... what was it? I don't know.
But is it Kiss Me, Kiss Your Baby?
Kiss Your Baby, I'm talking about. Yes.
Yes.
All over Europe. So that was great preparation for when we did get to Netherlands, which was fantastic for us. So we had it, set up for us, really, which was marvellous.
There's all great memories with those days, you see. I remember Kiss Me, Kiss Your Baby, and it got into the charts in Holland, and we were over there in Holland. And I remember I came outside the hotel on my own. I thought, I'm just going to have a look at a few shops. And, typical woman, And I was walking down the road, and I've never forgotten this, and a voice went, "Oh, Nikki Stevens." And I went... And I stopped shopping and I ran back to the hotel to say, "I've just been recognised." And that's the honest truth, you know.
Okay.
I've never, ever forgot. Excuse me. I've never, ever forgotten that. I mean, you probably don't remember me coming back.
It was me who recognised.
And how was the atmosphere between the artists? So with the other artists from the other countries in the Hague?
It's always
competitive.
It's a little bit tense and competitive because it's like any athlete. You know, we're all friends, but we're all out here to win.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, there's no animosity in that we don't hate each other or say, "Oh, I hope you don't win because I want to win." There's none of that. But it's everybody wants to win, obviously, no matter what you do in sports, whatever. But it was a great atmosphere, but a little tense because you're up to win.
And when you heard that you will have the start position one and you have to open the show, were you unhappy? Did you thought, "Oh, that's bad for us?
I think
it's difficult to win."
Well, when we're drawn number one, we went, "Oh my God, will they remember us 18 songs later?" And we said, "Well, what we've got to do," because we had a great routine, "we've got to do such a good show that at the end of the 18, they go, 'I like that one at the beginning at best.'" So we have got to make sure we do a really great show so that everybody remembers us. Mm. And it worked.
Yeah. And the year before, 1975, Teaching were first to go on as well.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So that was that helped a bit as well. You thought, "Oh, they did it, we can do it."
But I must tell you this as well. You know, what Martin says is perfectly true about how we felt about going on first. And as you know, Martin sings the lead on the song. And of course, Sandra Lee and I have got our backs to the audience. And of course, Martin turns round, and I saw, and Sandra did as well, just the shadow of his hand, which was just slightly like that.
Shaking.
And I remember thinking to myself, "Thank God I'm not singing lead on this song." You do it, son, you know.
Are there any people you met there you still have contact with, or even friendships, or is it already too long time ago?
Do we ever work with anybody from
we
that?
We did see the girl from teaching not all that long ago.
Getty Cuspers. Yes, who was guest in our podcast.
But we
she's born Austrian.
Yes.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
But we don't. No, we don't keep in. We don't.
No, no.
Well, I don't think I ever took anyone's phone number. you know.
It probably has changed since then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is everybody still alive?
Ding a dong, great song.
Oh yes.
Ding a dong, every hour when you kiss a flower. Great song. Good
pick,
song.
Pick, darling, pick, not kiss.
Yeah.
Pick.
Oh, when you pick a flower,
yeah,
is
not
it?
Kiss a flower.
Oh, right, okay.
I think, yeah.
Well, I was kissing
you can
a flower.
Kiss a flower too. I mean,
yeah.
I like it better.
Well, yeah, kissing like a flower.
We change the lyric.
Yeah, I think I could be wrong, mate.
When I on one karaoke show, I had to sing your song, and I was so nervous, and I did sing "Save My Kisses for You."
Well, that can still work.
Yeah, I did sing that the whole night.
Yes.
Yeah.
Save my kisses for you.
No, I didn't say my kisses for me. That's how I did sing it.
Yes, that's being totally selfish there. We're not spreading the love.
It was the narcissistic version.
Yeah.
So how was it if you knew we won it? How did you feel when you knew it?
I don't think you become numb at the... It's like anything. I think, okay, yes, I've won. Great. You're happy. But you just have no conception of what is coming. Or what, like, we just thought, oh, we've won. What happens now? And then there was 8 million photographers.
Oh,
we thought, oh, man, what's going on? You know, you don't realise the velocity. And everybody wants a piece. So we were sort of being like, we want you in 25 countries tomorrow. Hang on a minute. There's only four of us. you just have no conception. It's just a wonderful feeling. I think now, I'm sure the others agree, when we look back, you only realise what you've done. When
you don't realise the enormity of your success. You really, really don't.
No, you don't. You only... Because you go along with it. Because I'm still me. I'm still the same person. Mm. I haven't changed in that respect, you know. So what's special about me? People make you special. But you're not any different to anybody else. We're just the same. But we have the fame that people have given us. Mm-hmm. And it's only when you look back at our age now that we realise what we've done around the world and where we've been. And like today, having the interviews 48 years on, you think, wow, I'd have never guessed that would have been 48 years.
You see, when we won the Eurovision, right, if you can imagine this, we come back on and we sing it and it goes off air. Right?
Yeah.
Suddenly there's all these security. This way, everybody, this way, this way. And we're all being ushered into this room and we sat on like this stage on a long table and that's all I can remember is a sea of flash cubes. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, we're really famous. This all, you know.
Like what happens now?
Oh, gosh. And when we arrived back home at London Airport in the morning, all the press were there to take pictures of us and the headlines in the newspaper the next day, Britain's heroes return home.
Oh.
I hadn't been to war. I hadn't been to war.
Well, Eurovision, mate, you know, could you see there's a song war now? You can't.
But you see, how many pop stars get a medal for winning for their country? Yeah. I mean, it's usually only athletes, isn't it? A gold, bronze, silver, whatever. Mm. It's athletes. I can't think of anybody else that basically gets medals for winning for the country kind of stuff, apart from war heroes or whatever. And we're just basically pop singers. And we get a medal for it. And it was, you know, you think, oh, I've got a medal for the country, which is great.
Mm. Don't realise things like that, do you?
Did the Queen make a reception for you then?
Yeah,
well,
we've met her.
We've performed in front of the Queen a few times, which is lovely, you know. And I'm just glad I had a long dress on the first time I met her because I could not put one leg behind the other and curtsy because I would not have been able to have kept my balance. Instead, I just dipped my legs down and brought them back up. And, of course, she didn't know because I had a long dress on. It's really awesome when you think about it, you know.
She's very tiny, very small.
Yes.
But she's lovely. But
which is really different with you, and that's a big difference from you to other Eurovision winners, is they only had this one hit and then they're forgotten like somehow. But you still had numerous hits after Eurovision. So if I just may say, like Figaro, oh boy, Angelo. I mean, Angelo was a really huge hit everywhere.
That was long ago.
Yeah, but
sorry. I couldn't resist.
Yes, but you, for you, Eurovision was not like a peak point. It was also a booster, right?
Well, that's it. I think you have to, you know, Lee and I sat down and we got our heads together. And writing songs is like a job. And, you know, people go, oh, he wrote that in a half an hour or whatnot. But it's not exactly like that. It's, you know, it's that's like the movies. You know, they come in and say, hey, Bob, get on the piano. I've written a song. And they sing this, you know, I am putting on my top hat. That's all movie time. It's just a hard slog. You have to sit there for hours and hours and days, and then you come up with maybe something that Lee started on Monday. It's now Friday, and I say, I can't stop singing that thing that you started on Monday, and you've got it down on the tape recorder, and you run it back, and then you start adding to it. It's a job. It really is. It's hard work.
It does take something to write a song. I've tried. I'm hopeless. I'm absolutely hopeless, yet I am a musician. You know, I play the piano, I teach people to sing privately, but I just can't write a song. It is a talent on its own.
The lyrics, can't sing.
Neither can I.
We can podcast, yeah, you know, that's not the only thing we can.
Yeah.
So, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
And at the end, we always have three questions.
We do.
All right, okay.
Did you follow Eurovision 2019?
Did you say again?
Did you follow
Eurovision 2019? Because the question would be, is there still a song from last Eurovision you still have on your place or you still like to listen to?
No.
I find it difficult today to connect with the... Oh, I love watching the Eurovision. I love the extravaganza of it. I love the show. I really do like it. It's real great entertainment. As Lee always says, it's like Christmas. It comes once a year. And I really enjoy it. We all do. We all enjoy it. But I find, because we're lyric writers... and we like stories, Angelo, Figaro, Kisses, Kiss Me, Kiss Your Baby, and all the songs we've written, they're all stories, like the Beatles stories. Every song is a story. So today, when they come up with the odd word and it doesn't go with the next one, or there's no story in the actual song, I find it hard to lock into unless there's a real good gimmick or a sound that really appeals. So I find it hard to be able to pick a winner nowadays. Years ago, I think, going back to Rybak.
You can remember that one.
Yeah, going back to him, Alexander Rybak.
Fairy tale.
But you see, that stood out. He stood out. He was a cheeky chappy. And with a talented, he was a smiler and a happy chappy. And it just stood out, leapt out the screen to me. But I don't find it that's there today.
Conchita leapt out for me. With that song, Rise Like a Phoenix. Fabulous song, you know. So that really is the one that I can remember.
But you don't have one from last year?
No, not really.
You?
No, it's hard to remember, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
I mean, the Dutch one that won, you see, it wasn't really a hit in the UK. Was it a hit in Austria?
Not a huge hit, no.
No. So otherwise that would be the obvious one to remember.
But the tour was sold out. I mean, he's still touring and the people are watching
yes.
him.
Yes. So. Oh, yeah, he's a big star, isn't he? So it was good.
He's a good live performer.
But we always enjoyed the Eurovision. We it's not just the songs. It's the staging and the lighting and the sound and everything and the way the TV production. Just fantastic, isn't it? So you can't miss it. It's absolutely brilliant.
Second question is there a kind of an anecdote you remember from your own time at Eurovision? Something that stood out, like being funny?
Oh, only when Sandra went missing.
Oh, yes.
We were ushered all round the place after the Eurovision. Oh, you've got to go here, as Nikki just said. You've got to go here, you've got to come there, you've got to sit here, you've got to stand there, wait here.
She was
and this, that, and we're going, like, where are we going? Oh, into this room, into that room, into the... And so on and so forth. And then we all of a sudden said, where's Sandra? We've lost Sandra. She's gone. We said, and our manager, well, he was a bit of a panicker at that time, and he said, tell her, get the security, lock the doors, she's been kidnapped. And we said, what? She's been kidnapped. All at once, she went to the toilet. But she didn't tell us. And along the way, photographers grabbed her and said, can I have a picture? They're all this guy. But our manager panicked, she's been kidnapped.
And she ended up with this photographer being on the front cover of one of the major
magazines. Yeah.
You know? And of course, you know, Sandra, oh, well, I've got to go because she's so nice, you know, didn't like to offend. And now her manager's having a screaming fit. She's been kidnapped. These things happen, we'll have to pay a ransom. If we just come off the screen, you know, doing the contest.
Okay, and our last question is a very easy one, very quick one for all of you. What is your most favourite Eurovision song ever from all times?
Fairy Tale,
Alexandra Rybak. Okay. Yours?
Well, as the Eurovision has gone on year after year, my favourite song has changed. You know, I can go back to 1967 when the UK won with Puppet on a String. Great, great song.
And she won in Vienna.
Oh, really?
Yes,
yeah,
yeah.
And I love that. And there's been loads of songs I've loved. I love power ballads, you know. I loved Anne-Marie David when she won. But now recently, it's Conchita with Phoenix. So
Vienna Connection.
Yes.
Yeah. And yours?
There are so many, but if I had to choose one, I think I'd choose Milk and Honey, Hallelujah. Just the song is just so well constructed.
Yeah, it is. It's lovely.
You know, it just starts so simply, then it changes key. So many key changes in that. Just changing key all the time, and then they all join gradually, and it builds. So well put together. So I'll choose Milk and Honey, Hallelujah.
So Hallelujah, thank you very much for being in our podcast, and as we always say, merci, chérie.
Ah, oh, that's lovely.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Merci, chérie. Die kleine Song-Contest-Geschichte am Schluss. Marco, du hast mir doch sicher was mitgebracht.
Ich habe dir etwas mitgebracht und ich dachte mir, wir haben so oft Geschichten rund um den Eurovision Song Contest selbst erzählt. Geschehnisse, die beim Event passiert sind.
Ja.
Und wir haben noch nie die Geschichte eines Songs erzählt. Und ich habe mir gedacht, ich erzähle mal die Geschichte eines Songs.
Also von dem Moment, wo der Pianist das erste Mal eine Taste drückt?
Na, das wirst du jetzt gleich sehen. Und zwar, du weißt ja, ich habe eine große Leidenschaft für ein Festival.
Sanremo?
Jawohl. Und ich habe eine Vorliebe für ein Jahrzehnt.
Die 60er.
Du hast richtig.
Du Marco, kennst dich ich kenne gut. dich 25 Jahre, natürlich.
Ja. Und zwar, wir gehen zurück zum Festival di Sanremo 1965. Weißt du, wer damals gewonnen hat und dann auch Italien beim Eurovision Song Contest vertreten hat?
Das fällt mir jetzt nicht ein.
Das war Bobby Solo mit Se piangi se ridi. Er wurde damals Fünfter. Ein ganz schöner, feiner Song. Der Sieger von Sanremo und dann auch der Eurovision Song Contest Teilnehmer war aber mit Abstand nicht der erfolgreichste Song von Sanremo 1965. Da gab es andere. Grundsätzlich war diese Sanremo-Ausgabe wie ein paar in den 60ern ganz besonders, weil Songs, und es war noch viel mehr, dass der Song im Mittelpunkt stand und nicht unbedingt der Sänger, der Interpret. Das war ja bei Eurovision auch eine Zeit lang so.
Mhm.
Deswegen heißt das ja auch immer noch Song Contest. Ja. Und bei Sanremo hat man das damals so gemacht, dass immer ein italienischer Künstler und ein international bekannter Künstler einen Song interpretiert. Zum Beispiel Se piangi se ridi, der auch eben beim Eurovision war, wurde auch von den New Christie Minstrels vorgetragen. Oder Abbracciami forte wurde vorgetragen von Ornella Vanoni und von einem gewissen Udo Jürgens.
oder Amici Miei von Nicola Di Bari oder von Gene Pitney. Kiki Dee war dabei, Connie Francis war dabei, Petula Clark war dabei und auch Jody Miller war dabei, die dann sehr bekannt auch war als Country-Sängerin. Kennst du Jody Miller?
Gar nicht.
Okay. Die Jody Miller sang es, diesen Song, über den wir heute sprechen, und ein gewisser Pino Donaggio. Sagt der Pino Donaggio wiederum etwas?
Nein.
Also der Song ist geschrieben von Vito Pallavicini, also das ist der Textwriter, ein sehr, sehr berühmter Liedtexter, so sagt man eigentlich, der wahnsinnig viele Sanremo-Songs geschrieben hat. Er hat unter anderem auch Azzurro für Adriana Celentano geschrieben.
Das kenne ich.
Genau. Und er hat übrigens auch einen Eurovision Song Contest-Teilnehmer-Song geschrieben, und zwar... den habe ich jetzt nicht parat, wirklich gerade. Ganz egal, habe ich was für Serato. Und Pino Donaggio ist ein italienischer Komponist. Er ist auch berühmt, weil er viele Filmmusik und Melodien geschrieben hat. Zum Beispiel, wenn die Gondeln Trauer tragen, den Film hat er die Filmmusik gemacht. Oder bei Carrie, der Satans jüngste Tochter.
Brian De Palma.
Ganz genau. Und... ich würde vorschlagen, wir hören uns einen Song von 1965 jetzt einfach mal an, dass Sanremo nicht gewann, aber der erfolgreichste Song, einer der erfolgreichsten Sanremo-Songs der 60er Jahre überhaupt werden soll, Io che non vivo senza te.
Tu sei più triste ed io lo so perché. So che tu vuoi dirmi che non sei felice, che io sto cambiando. Io che non vivo più di un'ora senza te, come posso stare una vita senza te? Sei mia, ma niente lo sai, separarci un giorno. Vieni qui, ascoltami, io ti voglio bene, te ne prego, fermati ancora insieme a me. Come posso stare una vita senza te? Sei mia, io che non vivo più di un'ora senza te. Come posso stare una vita senza te?
Hast du es erkannt, oder?
Naja, you don't have to say you love me. Das ist Springfield natürlich. Wobei diese Fassung jetzt, die italienische, ein bisschen anders instrumentiert ist. Die Fassung geht mehr ins Hochdramatische beim Refrain, während das so einen schönen, na, wie soll man sagen, einen schönen Fluss hat.
Wusstest du eigentlich, dass das ein italienischer...
Ich wusste, dass es eine italienische Coverversion war. Es ist mir nie bewusst. Ich habe, glaube ich, die italienische Fassung noch nie gehört.
Das Italienische ist das Originalversion. Das ist Springfield ist die Coverversion.
Das, ja, genau so. Aber ich habe die italienische Fassung nie gehört.
Also Io che non vivo senza te war eben nicht der Gewinner, aber eigentlich der große, also kommerziell der große Gewinner von Sanremo 1965. Es gab eine englische Sängerin, nämlich die auch bei Sanremo 1965 auftrat. Die hieß nämlich Dusty Springfield. Sie hat sich nicht fürs Finale qualifiziert. Sie sang gemeinsam mit Gianni Mascolo die Fronte all'amore. Und ihr gefiel dieser Song einfach und sie hat diesen Song dann ein Jahr später, 1966 eben, so wie du auch gesagt hast, noch einmal neu eingespielt und dann wurde dieser Song einfach ein Welthit.
Ja.
Und ich würde vorschlagen, wir hören uns auch die Version einfach an, oder? Ich
bitte darum.
Don't Have to Say You Love Me von Dusty Springfield. So kennst du den Song am besten wahrscheinlich.
Das ist die Freunde der italienischen Oper.
Das ist großartig.
Hochdramatisch, hochdramatisch. Ja. Ich glaube nicht, diese Jody Miller wird das wahrscheinlich nicht so gespielt haben, gesungen haben, oder? Also bei der war das doch sicher. Hat sie das in Italienisch gesungen oder auf Englisch?
Sie hat das Italienisch gesungen. Wir können ganz kurz ihre Version uns anhören, weil es wurde dann auch als Single veröffentlicht. Und sie sang das bei Sanremo 65 so.
Forse tu vuoi dire facciamo, io che non vivo più di un'ora senza te. Come posso stare una vita senza te? Sei mio, ma niente lo sai, separarci un giorno potrà. Vieni qui, ascoltami, io ti voglio bene, te ne prego, fermati ancora insieme a me. Io che non vivo più di un'ora senza te, come posso stare una vita senza te? Sei mio, sei mio. Io che non vivo più di un'ora senza te, come posso stare una vita senza te? Sei mio, sei mio, sei mio.
Ja, so sang Jody Miller diesen Song, eine sehr bekannte, aber nicht so erfolgreiche Country-Sängerin aus den USA. Welche Version hat dir bisher am besten gefallen?
Ich bin immer noch ein großer Dusty-Fan, weil ich finde auch, wie sie singt, nämlich so beschwingter singt sie das. Und eben dieses Hochdramatische finde ich tatsächlich auch passend für den Song.
Ja, interessant. Auf jeden Fall. 1966 war Dusty Springfield dann ein Welterfolg und dann nur 4 Jahre später wurde der Song noch einmal ein Mega-Hit. Kannst du dir vorstellen, von wem gesungen?
Wahrscheinlich Udo Jürgens, oder?
Sollen wir aber mal reinhören? Ich glaube, du erkennst den Sänger sofort.
You don't have to say you love me, just be close at hand. You don't have to stay forever, I will understand. Believe me, believe me, I can't help but love you, but believe me, I'll never tie you down.
Also, wer ist das?
Also, so ganz falsch lag ich jetzt nicht. Es ist Elvis statt Udo Jürgens, aber naja. Es war nicht seine beste Nummer.
Nein, nein, nein. Aber es war ein Riesenhit auch von Elvis Presley.
Echt?
Ja, und ganz viele haben das dann auch gesungen. Es gibt eine wunderbare Version von Cher. Es gibt eine Version von Il Vole, von Ricky Poveri. Und Brenda Lee hat es auch gesungen. Also ein toller Song. Ich glaube, die Geschichte kann man wirklich würdigen von Io che non vivo senza te. Ich kann nicht ohne dich leben, Alkis.
Oh, danke. Wie sollte ich jetzt sagen? Merci,
Chef. I will understand. Believe me. Oh, believe me. Oh, you don't have to say you love me. Just be close at hand. You don't have to stay.
Missing Link.